Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine for this January 4th, 2023. You have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and we are joined by our good friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. I want to say hi to Taylor and the gang over there. And, of course, it's a Wednesday. It's the first of the week, first of the year, so we want to get to our Sheriff's Department. We have Sheriff Sean Becker in with us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Oh, wrong mic there. There we go.
Good morning. Hey, pleasure Sheriff. To be here.
Yeah, good to have you here. Thanks a lot for being here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
I wanted to get to something really quick before we get into depth of things. I think I might have heard Pam even mention it already. But this today is a year for us in this new studio. And you were our first Morning Magazine guest in this new studio.
Oh, well, sorry about that. I was the first victim. But no,
it works out.
Can't believe it's been a year already. I remember the ribbon cutting ceremony and you know, getting, you know, invited here. And I was just honored to be here. And then, the first... show, and I did not realize that, but time goes by way too fast.
It really does. It really does. Love the old studio, but this place is really nice. This is a really nice studio.
It's a little bit more climate controlled.
Yeah.
I remember it was a little warm in there periodically, but no, this is a great facility. I'm proud to see you guys here and proud to get the opportunity to be here.
How was your New Year's?
Good. Personally, went up north to visit with our daughter Jordan and her husband David. So we had a nice time just getting out of town.
Yeah.
Didn't get any work calls, so that was a plus, a bonus there. We were busy, but nothing out of the ordinary. A few drunk drivers, unfortunately, but overall, law enforcement wasn't overly busy. Just a few things were coming up, but it was nice to get out of town. Holidays were great. Always time to spend that time with family, and I'm blessed to have a lot of family locally, so everybody can get together and spend time together, and it was good. How about yours?
I have Sheriff Becker with me here, but I did actually want to talk to Coach Becker for a second because I wanted to, we go a month kind of without talking and everything. And since the last time you joined us, we've had Christmas, we had New Year's in this, going back a little ways, of course, Thanksgiving. So I want to ask Coach, how did we do over these three major holidays? How were events as the city goes and everything?
Hey, everybody got along. Packers are doing great. With the football aspect of it, high school things have now transitioned into a lot of the kids are doing other sports. That's encouraged. Whether it's wrestling, basketball, or something. If they're not doing that, the expectation is if you're playing football, you're powerlifting. And there's a great group of kids that have been following through with that. If they're not, involved in those other sports, they're coming. In fact, one of the kids, is wrestling, but he'll still come in early in the morning and work out with us. Just to showing that dedication. So right now, you're in that time frame of what's the focus is, powerlifting and weightlifting if you're not in another sport. And that'll continue throughout throughout this year, where the expectation will be either you're out for track and field or, baseball, you're doing something. You're staying busy. And then obviously, it's January, but we're still talking football for next year. A lot of our seniors have moved on, and now you have to look at who's going to step up and get into the positions that we need to fill. Defensively, we've got, for me, I coach linebackers. All of our linebackers will be back. I'm very fortunate to have it. They're all good players, good kids. Got to find a couple people on our defensive line and a couple other spots on offense. I feel we'll be competitive, next year. I appreciate you bringing that up. But the transition right now is into other sports and powerlifting.
Not to stay on the subject too long or anything, but that seems to be encouraged a lot more now.
Yeah.
And that's cool. That's not to say it was a bad way to do it the other way, but this does seem to be really good for these kids.
Yeah, they're staying busy, and you can't overlook that, the academic side of things. You have to perform in the classroom if you want to stay eligible for any sport. Mm-hmm. And, that's a big focus. And we've looked at, kids that do struggle. We want to help them along the way. Identify, okay, is it a certain class? What's going on? How can we as coaches step in, not just on the field but off the field, to help kids through? Because we all struggle.
Yeah.
I don't care how good of an athlete you are. you know, there's something that could come up at home. There's something like mental health related that might be something that we can help you along with. You know how I feel about that. And no, it's not coaching on the field. It's, you know, I'll tell you, it's all year round, and I enjoy it. You know, it's a nice opportunity for me to work with kids.
All right, so that was our coach's review. Now I'm going to have to ask Sheriff Becker how these last three major holidays, how we did as a community as far as knuckleheads and non-knuckleheads. I mean, how it really went overall, you know, kind of grade on that.
Nothing to jump out at me that was like a major, you know, event locally that we had major issues. But what I will say is getting the opportunity to do all the parades. You know, we usually bring our armored vehicle out, and we get some people in the community to ride with us just so people can see it. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, the support out there throughout the county was awesome. You know, had all the parades were very, very well attended, and it was just nice to see the community support, you know, not only just for the sheriff's department or law enforcement, but for the, you know, just the holidays. You know, it kicks off, and, you know, Wisconsin Ramp is the day before Thanksgiving, and the chamber does an awesome job organizing that parade, and that starts, and then, you know, we get the Marshfield, Rudolph. You know, it seems like every community here has got something going on for the holidays, and it was nice to see that, you know, and a lot of people getting out and enjoying it, you know, because 2 years ago, you know, I hate to talk about COVID, but it's still brought up, you know, it's still there, but it's nice to see things getting to some level of normalcy, but it's still something that you and we're all going to have to live with going through that. Yeah. And it's something that we'll never forget, you know, not just for, you know, changing our lives, but the people we lost.
Yeah.
You know, it's real, it's out there. And, you know, we lost a family member, and, but, you know, on the flip side of it, you know, moving forward, working through it, something that we'll never forget.
I feel like last year around this time, we were talking about getting back to normal and things feeling like they're back to normal. This year, we actually were just doing it. Yeah. We were just actually feeling it. We weren't necessarily talking about it. And it did feel like that kind of vibe. And certainly looking at reports, the numbers and all that, it seemed like this was I don't want to say a safer holiday season, but it did, you know, for lack of a better word, it did kind of come across that way. It did seem that way statistically. And that's really good to hear.
Yeah.
I think that part of it also plays into people's spirits and people's moods and everything. They lay into each other, sort of.
No, I completely agree. It was a, you know, in my opinion, personally and professionally, we had a really you know, great holiday season. Looking forward to working into the new year. Yesterday I was sworn back in as sheriff. I'll tell you what, 4 years went by way too fast. You know, I just I can't believe it. Yeah. I really can't. And the community support, not just for me, but for law enforcement is huge. And, you know, I'm a big team player, and I'm here for a reason, to be part of this team. And we've accomplished so many things in the last 4 years. I'd be here for hours just to talk about them. But you look at the big things that we did as a team, and it's not just the sheriff's department team, but the law enforcement team within the county, you know, again, with the jail. And that's not just a sheriff's department team. It's a community team, you know. And I think, James, we did it right when we started talking about it 4 years ago, you know, on this radio show. We're going to keep talking about it.
Yep.
But it's just something that I'm so proud to be a part of, this community, because we got the information out there. You know, our county board did just an outstanding, awesome job as how they approached it and asked their questions on the whys.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of money, but we can't keep putting this off anymore.
Yeah.
I hate seeing the county write a check to two other counties
just
for their revenue so we can house people there. And that's going to be an awesome day. I sent an email out to our team and just say, just wait. We won't have to take people to another facility to house them, transport them, and deal with all the other, you know, fallout from that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just think of that. And then just think of the facility that you know, our team deserves, you know, in a couple of years that project should be done. And as we continue on with our shows, I'll have some more people come in and talk about a little bit more details on where the project's at. Obviously, if you drive by the courthouse, you're going to see two huge cranes, a lot of earth being moved, foundations going in right now. In about a month, you'll start to see structure go up.
Mm.
So it's about a two and a half year project, but it's going to happen. And again, and that's not the only highlight of the last 4 years, but we talked about it a lot, and we're going to continue. And again, I'm very proud of our community, proud of our county board, proud of our law enforcement team with all the support to get where we're at. We wouldn't have been to the point we are without the teamwork approach. And, you know, I know our people in our community did the right thing by electing the county board members in the positions they are, because they sat down and then they really looked at this, they listened, they asked questions, and that's what we expect out of people that we elect in public office.
When you look at the last 4 years, it is certainly one of the, if not biggest headline, one of the big headlines, mm-hmm. New jail. I'm a taxpayer, and I'm going to be paying on this, and if you told me we save one of our officers' lives or one of our mm-hmm. clients' lives or any of this, I'm good with it. Like, you know, that alone, let alone all these other factors that you just touched on and we've talked about and we will talk about in the future.
Yeah.
I did want to congratulate you about the re-election.
Thank you.
I know that things have changed here with our new ownership, the way we kind of handle politics on the air at WFHR. That's changed. It's a little different than what we used to do that. But I am still, I'm never going to change who I am. And for me, I am never going to tell anybody my political beliefs or feelings or who I vote for or what side of the aisle I'm on or any of this. I like people to have to work for my vote. But I make no bones about it. You are the only person I have ever backed and said, that is who I'm voting for. That is the person that I believe in. And as nothing to do with politics, and honestly has very little to do with your badge. It has to do with the way you have always treated me, my family, the way that you have treated us on the air, our station, a lot of those things. But more importantly than all of that, your approach to law, your approach to this system that we have that is difficult and has tons and tons of gray area to it. And I don't think that anybody, even if you, no matter where you are, you know, feeling on this or anything, anybody can legitimately with a straight face say that our officers have everything they need to do their jobs or have, you know, just the right amount on their plate, you know, or any of that. I think it's pretty common knowledge to understand that all these factors, pay, all these different things are not where they should be. And with all that, how easy it would be to give into evil or bad feelings or any of this stuff and everything. And here you stand there, and the first time I meet you, and our first very genuine conversation is about stopping this revolving door. And I'm kind of sitting back, and the assumption in my head is, well, I know where this is going. And then it goes a completely different direction that I did not see coming. I got a genuine human being in front of me here. I got somebody who actually gets it, who understands that nobody is going to stop acting and doing something if you just tell them, that's bad. I'm putting you away for this amount of time. You go think about what you did. Ask them why. Why did they do this? Just start there and build from that. And now it's not always going to happen that way. Mm-hmm. But statistically, 3 out of 5 times, you will get a criminal who will not commit a second act. If you take these steps, if you do these things that you, your department, and many others are doing, but it, even though it's only been 4 years, it's now it's a little more common. When you first brought this up, it was very, you know, different. And to be honest with you, part of the reason I was backing too was because, well, I don't know if he's getting reelected. I don't, with this approach, with what you were talking about, it was not exactly always the stuff that maybe the client, the community would support. Here they are surprising me, and proudly, I'm very happy to be wrong about that. Not only in supporting you, but in supporting this message and the approach that you and your staff have.
Yeah, I'm really humbled by you know, James saying that. You know, it's not about me; it's about the team. And you know, when you know, I sat down with my wife Julie, you know, over 4 years ago, and we decided to, you know, as a team, as a family team, to take the jump into, I wouldn't say the politics, but the next step of what's there for us, for mm-hmm. leadership, and what kind of impact, you know, we can have as a team. And then when you go out and you talk to people, and I wasn't afraid to talk about mental health mm-hmm. because we had already made that investment with our team, you know, our you know, with the sheriff's department, with law enforcement starting CIT, mm-hmm. you know, which I'm happy to say in March we're gonna have our 12th class already.
Wow.
That's cool. Class size average between 30 to 40 law enforcement officers. Just do the math, and that's the impact that we've had on our law enforcement team. But that's not what it's all about. It's about the community, and it's about, you know, talking about mental health. And it just wasn't, you know, something that, you know, that stigma was there, and we need to continue to break that. And I think that, you know, with what I've seen in the last 4 years, not just what our team's been doing, but it's not just exclusive to us. It's gone on, you know, throughout this whole country.
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, it's nice to see that the majority of people, if you need help, you can ask for it, and it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
I have no problem admitting that I've done that, you know, with the resources that I have available to me. And you should do that if you're struggling, you know, and then taking back to the, you know, we talked, you know, around 4 years ago of, hey, you know, there's a lot of community support out there to come into our jail to try to help, you know, the inmates that are spending time there. They made mistakes. Right, they still have to want to get better. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, that's on them.
Yep.
Then we will see them back.
Yeah.
Because we know it's not going to work. But maybe someday it will. But I've said it enough that if we can, you know, help somebody through this tough time, they're going to spend the time in our facility, and they invest in the programming that we have available, and you get out and you become productive members of our community, we all win.
Yep. Yeah. It's a win-win.
It costs a lot of money to our county to incarcerate somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody's not incarcerated and they're doing well, you know, and we help them along the way, you know, they're supporting themselves, their family, paying taxes.
Exactly.
That wins.
Yes. That's, you know, I think that's the part where we can reach people, excuse me, no matter where you fall on this aisle, is, okay, if you don't care about the human factor or any of these things, that person, they rehabilitate, they get a job, they're paying taxes, that means less taxes for you. It's an economically smart thing to do, let alone if you don't care about human beings, economically, it just makes more sense to have people not incarcerated. It's right. Not far-fetched. This isn't a big leap to get to or anything. But it took a leap of faith to be able to talk about this, to be able to do these things, especially from your position, a voted in position and everything. Mm-hmm. I do admire, and I do think that it's noteworthy that in a relatively short amount of time, we're seeing more and more of that traction on that subject and more getting done on it. And it's great to hear the program's already in the 12th class and so many of these things that are really, the ball is rolling.
Yeah, no, I'm really proud of, you know, the story of Doug Christensen, and he earned the position of being, you know, the mental health, you know, mm-hmm. deputy for our sheriff's department, you know, something that I firmly believe in. And, you know, with his story and Katie Siz's story when she worked for Human Services, and how our CIT, you know, our crisis intervention training evolved, I'm just so proud of that. You know, and the direction it's going, and it's not going to stop. And no, that's you know, something that, like I said, I can't say how proud I am of Doug and Katie and Alicia Brundage, and then, you know, all the partnerships that are out there, you know, with Human Services and then with NAMI, and just, you know, building upon it. And it's just, you know, it's I can't just say enough how proud I am just to be part of that.
Along with this, the jail, are there other things that you're looking to do to accomplish in the next couple of years that you're hoping to, goals that you might have?
Good question. You know, I sat down with our team, and it circles back to, you know, what direction they want to take the department. You know, like I said, it's not all about me. I think that we've put together a lot of great things in the last 4 years and made a lot of progress. And, you know, for me, it's still going to really revolve around the team, you know, the community. What do they want to see different from us? If we're doing something that they'd like to see us do different, then let's know. You know, I put out our last meeting before our first of the year. I said, I want you to evaluate me, you know, to our administration team, our leadership team. And I want to know a couple things I can do better. And I want to know a couple things, you know, that we're doing good.
Right.
And we're going to meet next week. And that's what probably the goals will come out of. Mm. The jail's there. And unfortunately, like I said, we're going to continue to talk about it because the community is going to continue to see it.
Yeah.
And the theme, or at least the reasons why we need to do it, are the same. you know. But it's just going to take a couple of years to get there, and I'm really excited to see that facility open up.
And looking forward to talking more and more in depth about it as we go along. It's certainly a big one, and it's going to remain a big topic for the next year or two. I have to say, it warms my heart seeing those cranes. They remind me so much of my youth and everything. So I see those cranes, and it immediately brought back to being a kid and in the city and everything. And the other thing that hits me after I'm done with my nostalgia trip down memory lane is that's I see dollar signs. I see dollar signs staying in this city. I see dollar signs not leaving. I see a lot of different things with those cranes and the work that's being done over there. I see safety. I see a big health sign. I mean, there's a lot of different things that you can take from those. And the work that's being done. Jobs, you know, another factor of this. There's so many different layers to it. Do look forward to diving into that with you.
Yeah, and we will. Like I said, as we move forward in the next couple of years, I'll have people that are part of the construction project that we'll be able to answer, you know, more of the specific things. You don't want me talking construction. Ask my wife. You know, they own a construction company, and when I worked for them, I was the cleanup guy. You know, I ripped stuff down, but yeah. Don't expect me to build something back up, because that just wasn't my forte.
My dad always had me doing that stuff, the construction. Yeah, I hear you.
Kind of wish I did, because, you know, the home projects, you know, I could probably fix, you know, I could put a toilet in once in a while, but it's just, you know, stop there, because that's just not my forte. But anyway, a lot of community events are coming up. We had one, Toys for Tots.
Yeah.
You know, so that went over really well. You know, you just see the community need, that the people that come in and, you know, pick up, you know, just a bag full of toys, and you just look at that community need, and it just, you know, tears at your heart. And then we had an opportunity after going through that weekend before Christmas, and then we took a bunch of toys over to the family center, you know, reached out to them. Hey, what do you have? You know, and so it was nice to get the opportunity to deliver those, just to see that, you know, here's some people that are truly in need, and, you know, hand that off. But that's always been a great event that we've been part of, and, you know, really appreciative of all the people in the community that make that happen. And it's just, you know, we're there just to either help with deliveries or help traffic control. It's the people that are behind that event that are very special. Yeah. And you just know that where their heart is something that we all could follow.
We were talking the other day about the great legendary actor Robert Loggia, and a guy who made his career playing bad guys, you know, and there's this famous scene in the movie Big with Tom Hanks and him dancing on the piano, and you see Robert smiling, and it stays with me, even though I've seen everything he's done. That scene stays with me more than anything, because it's the only time you really get to see him smile and having fun and being happy. I thought of this a couple weeks ago when I was watching a news station talking about a charity drive, toy drive for some officers that were delivering toys and that, and it wasn't your department but a different department, and I thought of you guys. I thought, man, you so rarely get to do things like that. We rarely get to see you guys being able to smile and have fun or enjoy your job or anything. Yeah. Like, I had never really thought about that part of the whole process of that. I got to imagine, I don't want to say a relief, but it's got to be a bit of a relief to not only be able to be a part of something like that, but for the community to be able to see you in that light. More times than not, you know, all of our interactions are in horrible moments. It's got to be such a genuine feeling to be able to be a part of something like that. Just be a human being.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of community support out there, you know, for just a lot of these programs, and Toys for Tots is just one of them. But I know that there's, you know, the Best Christmas Ever event that a family was selected, that we're going through some hard times, that you know, that we stepped up and were part of, but we were only a small part of it. It's the rest of the people that are behind the scenes that are making these kind of situations happen and helping out a family that truly needs it. Tri-City Refrigeration, you know, they do a Warm the Hearts campaign that I'm proud to be part of, that committee, giving away a furnace or two of them. And just to see when the people are selected and, you know, then the install, it's just, you know, it brings a tear to your eye. You know, it's not just for the family that needs it, but the people that are stepping up in the community that are providing locally for somebody that truly needs it.
We had some of the people on Morning Magazine talking about it, and I told them off air, telling them on air. It never gets old. Like, I've been doing this a while, and having different guests on talking about subjects like this, and the way this community steps up never gets old to me. I shouldn't be surprised. I've been seeing and experiencing it for a long time now, but I just never gets old, and it never stops. Doesn't shock me. Where, man, people, the way people step up, and a big shout out to Tri-City, to all those businesses, all those sponsors, all those volunteers, all those people that really put into that.
Yeah.
We will take a break right here. We'll come back, have some more conversation with our friends at the Wood County Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Sean Becker, and with us here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to the Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine on this January 4th, 2023, 10:34 on the clock. Your host, James, here, and we're joined by Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Sheriff Sean Becker in with us, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, saying hi to Taylor and the gang over there. Sheriff, I know that you kind of let me run a little bit of the opening there. I know you have some things you wanted to touch on.
It's filling airtime.
That's all we're doing, right. Where did you want to start the second half here?
Polar Plunge is coming up February 4th out at Anchor Bay. It was moved back out there. Excited for that. Not excited to plunge, but yeah. It's all for a good cause. The Sheriff's Department's had a team plunging for, I think, well over 10 years. I think we've raised probably somewhere over $50,000, you know, but just a great, fundraiser for Special Olympics and, just highlighting that connection law enforcement has with Special Olympics. I'm looking forward to that event. Again, glad it got moved back out to Anchor Bay. Nothing against the other spots, but here you're jumping into the Wisconsin River, and it's a nice setup there with the improvements that have gone out. And, big shout out to the Village of Bearin and all the progress that's gone out in that area. It'll be a great event. So we're looking forward to that. And again, we have a plunge team. A lot of our corrections officers are jumping this
really?
Time. the patrol people are investigators, and I've been giving them a lot of grief.
It's
come on, what's the deal here? But
you gotta let that department take all the bragging rights and everything. You guys gotta step up here.
Big shout out. Pardon?
I was just going to say, I'm not the one jumping, so I should shut up.
That's all right. I'm okay with that, but, other people at the Sheriff's Department could step up. Come on. A big shout out to Ashley Hansen. She is the regional coordinator for Special Olympics, put on the event, and a great friend of ours. She's an aqua skier, so I had an opportunity to get to know her over the years. But my daughter Jordan used to have the position that she has now, and Ashley's just doing an awesome job getting out in the community and getting a lot of fundraising. She's been hitting a lot of the sponsors that I would hit, so she's taking... Nice. Like, hey, I don't need to call these people, but no, you're getting the credit. come on. But all goes to the same, all goes to Special Olympics, and that's what it's all about.
And some of the kindest, nicest people you will ever meet are part of Special Olympics.
Sure are.
They're just great people.
Yeah, and Cole will be jumping again.
Nice. Good.
So he'll be leading off as usual, and I'm sure he'll get a lot of his fundraising out. So get ready for Cole in the community, and please step up and help him out. So because it's just such a great cause to be part of.
If you get a chance to head out there and watch too, I encourage you to do that. And a big shout out to our friends at Anchor Bay and everybody over there. It's a great spot.
It is. It's under new ownership the last couple of years. They've been doing just a great job with bringing the community events back out there, getting settled in, and just a great. Great spot.
Such a perfect location for this.
Yeah, with the improvements that have gone on, just in the Village of Bearin with that boat landing and the parking and whatnot, because we just for this event, I remember the parking was just atrocious. You're parking everywhere, and now you've got a large parking lot that should accommodate everybody, where people aren't having to be parking on people's property or getting a bus to come back and forth. It should accommodate a good sized crowd for a great event. So if people are around, stop out. Law enforcement usually starts off around noon, and jumping is usually done by 2.
Is there a way to that you prep for something like that?
No.
No. I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, as I'm asking the question, I'm like, no, there's no, what kind of question is that?
The worst part is when you're standing in line, you know, going down to, you know, where you're going to be jumping in, and a lot of us are just kind of getting on each other and, you know, whatnot, you know, having our arms crossed, freezing. It's like, all right, let's get this done. Yeah. And Terry Johnson, one of our deputies, he's been jumping the last few years. He's been doing the super plunge. And there you go, five times in a row. And then he jumped back with our team. You know, and I did that in the past. I'm like, I'm retiring from that.
Yeah.
I'll do it one time. But, you know, but if you raise $1,000, you can do that. And I give him a lot of credit, not just for raising a lot of the money, but for jumping over and over again. It's not
a brave human being right there. That is, that is all, and a good human. I mean, to be able to raise that kind of money, man.
Yeah, that's, proud that he's part of it and he's keeping it going. So, no, we got a great team this year. And like I said, a lot of it's based on our corrections people stepping up and looking forward to the event. And please get out and support, you know, this event, Special Olympics.
We'll be talking about it on our morning show and stuff and encouraging people to head over there and talk more about it.
Yeah. Next thing, snowmobile patrol. Obviously, the Sheriff's Department still has a snowmobile patrol. Trails are not open. I think we got really teased before Christmas where all the clubs, you know, we have seven of them in our county that maintain the trail system. Everybody's out there clearing the trails, grooming, and it looked like we're going to have a great season. Well, Mother Nature decided to, you know, do something different. But I bring it up because, you know, when the trails were looking good, we had issues. People were going out on the trails when they're closed and taking it upon themselves to ride on them. And that's an issue. It's a personal issue because I'm a proud member of the Keller Knight Snowmobile Club. Mm-hmm. And I see these issues that come up when people decide to either operate on the trail when it's closed or decide to go off the trail just for whatever reason, whether you're cutting a corner or doing something different. People have to realize that the trail system relies on property owners. It's a privilege for us to be on the trail system. And when people decide to do what I just said, that jeopardizes it. And I've seen countless times that we've had people, property owners, decide to close that portion of the trail that goes over their property. And I get it. You know, and then it's hard for us to put a reroute up there, talk to somebody else. And if that one neighbor had an issue, they're going to talk to the other neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had a lot of those issues, and of course we already did. And I understand it from the snowmobile, you know, perspective. You can ditch ride, and you saw that. But the trail is closed, and I know you want to get out there and enjoy that sport, that recreational sport. I love it. It's a great sport, but you have to abide by the law. And again, it's very frustrating for me personally, in the position I have now, to hear over the radio that, hey, we've got somebody on the trail, where it's closed, and we try to catch them, because we will take enforcement action. It's not exclusive just to the Kellner, it's through, you know, the whole county, and none of our trails are open, unfortunately, but, you know, the work that has gone in by all of our clubs has been phenomenal. I mean, this is all volunteers going out, you know, they're grooming, they're clearing, you know, tree branches and making sure that you know, trail system is safe. And then, you know, just I go back to, it's very frustrating when people take advantage of it.
The about a week ago, when Lance was here, we were talking about this subject, and it wasn't until that conversation with him afterwards, and I was re-listening to the interview and stuff, and thinking about it, and this is become, I don't know if it's become, it has been a personal issue to me too. I honestly have not rode in a snowmobile in ages. It's been a while, but when I first moved here, and I'm living on Camelot, it was my first, like, the first activity I did here in Wisconsin where I got it. I'm like, oh, I get it now. I see why people like to move here. I see why people love this area, why people love this. Snowmobiling is awesome. It's fun. It's a lot of, it's a great rush and everything. And I remember the neighbor that took me out and everything, he was very careful. Like, he slowed down in certain areas. And I asked him later why. And I was, well, that's somebody's house. And I'm like, oh, you could ride on people's lawns? Like, yeah. That's how. And it's the first time I heard about it and everything. And as I got older and older, and I hear these stories of people having to take their, not wanting to, but literally taking their property off of the map, basically. And then having to work around that. And I'm the older I get, the more I get frustrated by self-inflicted wounds.
Yeah.
This isn't a birthright. It's a privilege to be able to drive these trails, to be able to use people's property that they paid hard money for. It seems so. Are you an adult or not? Like, yeah. I mean, if you're old enough to be able to drive a snowmobile, you should be old enough to make the conscious decision to treat somebody else's property well. Right. It just seems very simple. It doesn't, and it's such a self-inflicted wound. And I'm with you. If that's my property, and after year, people are misusing it, it's not that that has a shelf life.
Yep. No, it's gone, and it's not exclusive just to Wood County. It's all over. Right. I don't think people quite understand that. You know how the trail system works. It's not public land. It's relying on, you know, a high percentage of them as private property owners giving us the opportunity to use their land.
Yeah.
And you don't want to abuse it. And that's where, like I said, throughout the years of, you know, getting involved with their snowmobile club, Justin Connor used to work for the county, and he was in leadership in the Keller Knights, and he talked Julie and I into getting part of the club. And I'll be honest, I didn't quite understand how much you rely on the private property owners, and then going through the reroutes, and then, you know, people complaining and just saying, no, you're done. You're not coming on our property anymore. You're not going through this section of Grand Rapids anymore. And it's frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, that's why if I get the opportunity, especially in the winter months, just to talk about it, just to get that message out there. I mean, you can't do this, you know, and there will be, you know, we will take action if we catch you. You know, and right now, the trail system's not open anywhere in Wood County, so stay off them for two reasons. One, it's illegal. Number two, it's not safe.
Yeah.
You know, you can look at the weather that's going on right now. There's icy conditions. You don't want to be on the trails for those two big reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not going to be able to, if it keeps up and it doesn't get better, you're going to end up where your snowmobile trail is 2 feet. Yeah. And that's your ride. Right. We're done. You know, you're going to save a lot on gas, but you're not going to have a lot of time and fun.
Only, yeah. If you have a little bit of land, then you'll be able to. That's the only place you'll be able to go. Or you could ditch ride, which isn't very safe either.
No.
You know, normally, ditch ride, and it's like really from one trail to the next. Mm-hmm. You know, it's legal. As long as you're on the right side of the road, you can do it. You do it when there's really almost no snow, but you can't get on a trail. And it's not good for your machine. Yeah. Believe me, I took you know, mine and Julie's in for service, and I did not like the bill that I got. And that was one of the things that was brought up. Hey, are you riding on, you know, like concrete or something? I'm like, well, you know, when trails are fairly rough, you're going to have more wear and tear on your sled.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another reason why, you know, you look at the safety factor of a trail area, you know, or system not being open. So let's keep our fingers crossed. Hopefully we'll get some snow here in the, you know, coming up in the next few days, and we'll be able to reevaluate it and get the trail system open locally.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Some other things going on. Lieutenant Nate Dean, he oversees one of our night shifts. I think I might have talked about it before in the past, but he successfully graduated from the FBI Academy in Quantico. Yeah, I had the opportunity to go out and watch the graduation, and humbling. You know, I'm really humbled by the fact that on a couple of different levels, one, getting out there to see it and to see how prestigious it is, and two, having somebody from our department, our team, our leadership team, get the opportunity to go out there. And Nate did it right. This is a big commitment, personally. You know, department-wise, say it's a no-brainer. When you can send somebody from your team to the best leadership training in the country, you do it. Yeah. That was a career goal of mine. It just didn't work out. Apparently, I was told I was too old to go. That's another that we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
But anyway, I took it. Hey, we've got a slot here to send somebody. We haven't since the early 2000s, Kurt Hoyer went. And, you know, it brought back your team, and it's a 10-week commitment, and you're away from your family.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not easy to do. So we talked to our leadership team, and Nate did it right. He brought it home to his wife, Kristen. He sat down with her and said, hey, and they have a young one at home. You know, and it's like, can I go? Then you explain it. And then Kristen did a huge solid for her from, hey, we'll get through it. You know, and she had support from her family. So Nate did it before. He didn't just tell me yes. He went home and, you know, did a, put a lot of time and thought into it, and it worked, and he went through it, and it was just a humbling experience to see him graduate, see all the connections he made throughout not only the country but the world.
Yeah.
His class had like almost 240 people in it, and they were from all different, every state, from, you know, in the country and other countries.
Wow.
You know, and just the connections.
I don't think I knew that part.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
That is really cool.
Just you know, for me, you know, personally, it was just nice to see somebody else get that personal goal of mine in our department to go through. And it's something that we're going to continue to commit to. You know, if we can get somebody through it every year, which we won't because it's very competitive to get people into the FBI Academy. But, you know, it's my goal before I retire, we get one or two more people, you know, our future up-and-coming leaders, to get through this, because it's going to benefit not only our department but the community. So I'm really proud of Nate, proud of Kristen for them as a family, you know, deciding to move forward with it. And you know, we'll have him on the show just talking about the experience.
I'd love that. Yeah.
Because he, you know, he just came back in awe. And I am too. Just I was there for 26 hours, you know, and just to absorb what I did from Quantico and what is there. It was phenomenal just to hear the FBI director, you know, speak. Their class president was from England, and his speech was, it brought a tear to your eye, just comparing law enforcement in England to law enforcement in the United States. And what was so humbling about it, you know, he talked about they don't have the defund the police. They have the support, obviously, but they don't have that kind of movement anywhere in our country that we have. You know, they don't have that in their country. And what was chilling to me is how we talked about how many law enforcement officers we lose a year in the United States compared to England. It's a fraction. They don't lose maybe one or two every 2-3 years or even more. And the way he talked about that, you know, brought a tear to your eye. And then he circled back and said that I would still be a proud law enforcement officer in America, even with that risk out there. And it was just something that I'll never forget that speech. But the whole you know, opportunity that Nate had, and he was the fourth member in the history of the Sheriff's Department to go. Bob Odette, prior sheriff from the 80s, went. Dave Lowdy, one of my mentors, went in the late 80s. And then Kurt Hoyer, another mentor of mine, got the opportunity to go, you know, in the early 2000s. And unfortunately, we had that break of over 20 years, which maybe, you know, unfortunately, maybe we could have got one or two people in there. But it is what it is. You know, now the commitment that we're going to have is when those opportunities come up, we're going to send our people to that. Because not only just the FBI Academy, but any type of leadership training that's vetted, like through the state or the country, only makes your department better.
You never heard somebody say, "Oh, I've had too much leadership." Any chance to learn and grow and get better. The greatest leaders I've ever known have never called themselves leaders. They just lead. And they are constantly learning and working to get better at what they do. It's a really cool opportunity, just in the essence of it and everything. I'm a diehard fan of like Criminal Minds and those shows. And anytime anything FBI comes up, my ear is interested and stuff. So I'd love to be able to talk with them about that. I appreciate you taking the time to talk about his family and that sharing that and him sharing it and everything. A big shout out to the whole family. It's so noteworthy. We talked about this actually 4 years ago, really, the first time, was about creating. One of my purposes, I believe, in this job is making sure that I remind people that you are not a badge, you are a human being. That when I have a representative in, that they are a human being, not a rep. So we can get maybe a little bit of this, less of this keyboard cowardness and some of these things. But you hear something like that, and if it don't bring it home, that I don't know if anything's going to reach you. Because as soon as you said young one at home, immediately, you and I both know what that means. What that, you know, it's all the stuff you plan, and then it's the stuff that happens at 2 a.m. that you don't plan for. That you're glad to have that backup. And by backup, I mean your partner, your significant other, or whatever. Right. To be just losing that for a night, let alone that long,
10 weeks. Yeah, it's not an easy. You can't come home. It's not that easy to say I'm going to pick up and drive home for the weekend. You know, I mean, you can. It's not that easy to do. It's a big commitment. And with him going, you know, we hadn't had somebody go for so long. He brought back a lot of information so we can share that with the next person that gets selected from our department to go. We're also really lucky that the police chief up in Marshfield, Jody Gerwink, he just went, you know, and so we're making, you know, more and more connections within, you know, the FBI and the selection committee. Each state has a selection committee on who can go next, and they're all from people who have already been in the academy. And so we're looking forward to, you know, Jody and, you know, Nate, you know, pushing, you know, more of our law enforcement leaders locally to get the opportunity to go.
We talk about dedication to service, sacrificing things for the job, for the community, and that. And there's stuff that I think we have that pop right in our head, and then there's those kind of things that we don't maybe always think about. It's important to share that stuff, I think, so that that hits home a little bit more. People truly understand what it means to do that, so you can bring that information back here, and we're all, our communities are that much safer and stronger, that connection is that much better, that information is shared like that.
Yeah, no, couldn't agree anymore. You know, that's just it's a great opportunity to see the investment that we've been making in, you know, in our department leadership team, and you know, really I really feel it makes your department better, and you know, the community as well.
Agreed. I'm glad I looked at the clock, because somehow the hour's already gone. We got like 5 minutes left. I did not catch that. I didn't mean to ramble if I did, if there were things you wanted to get to.
You know, again, humbling yesterday. I can't, you know, believe 4 years went by as fast as it did. Big shout out to my family. You know, Julie and Jordan came down for the swearing in. Katie couldn't make it. The roads were bad, and I didn't expect her to. And but just, you know, that support is why I'm here. That was the foundation of why we started. And it was, you know, humbling. It was pretty uneventful to go through the swearing in yesterday. You know, thank you to Judge Potter and our county clerk, Trent Miner. You know, but it's very humbling to be here again, and I appreciate the community support, the department support, the law enforcement support, and especially the support from my family. I wouldn't be here without them, and you know, I want to at least get that in before we end. A couple other people to bring up: Tony Bastine, one of our lieutenants in our jail, just took a promotion to overseer dispatch center. So he'll be moving in that new role. He's a great leader, you know, and he came from dispatch, so he's only evolved even more and more as a leader. So he'll be taking over for Lori Heidemann in a couple weeks, replacing Tony. Another great leader, Joe Kina. He's a sergeant. He's stepping up to leadership role. Another great leader, you know, moving forward with his career. Mitzi Ford worked up in our front office for several years, and she took an opportunity working for the clerk of courts. So she left us, but great person. We're kind of, you know, now short-staffed in her front office, and she came in early a couple times just to help out Jenna McDonald, who was, hey, I got all these reports to type or some stuff to do, and came in her own time just to help out. Shows the type of individual, and she'll always be a team player, and I never fault somebody leaving our team to better themselves.
Yeah.
You know, like where Tony's going to dispatch, dispatch isn't under the sheriff's department. It's kind of its own separate entity.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Huh. And which, you know, we're still very closely connected.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, hey, he's bettering himself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's going to do an awesome job in dispatch. And he'll still be in the same building. He'll always be a resource. I know that as Joe moves into his position, he'll continue to work with him and make sure that, you know, he's going to be successful. And that's how you build your leadership team, is even when they move to other positions, the willingness to come back, like Mitzi, just says that, hey, we've been doing things right. And I understand if you want to better yourself, it's hey, part of it.
Because I love bringing things full circle, bringing it, going back to coaching where we started. The greatest coaches, they don't do everything themselves. They hire people, and they get people who are smart and can do, okay, you're going to take care of the offense, you're going to take care of the linebackers, you're going to take care of the D-backs, you know, all that stuff. That's smart management, smart coaching. It all starts there at the top and the way that goes. And that brings me back to your reelection. And I did have a question that came up when I was thinking about it over the week. And again, congratulations about
Thank
it.
You.
And very well deserved. it seems like to me, as somebody looking from the outside in, that the first time being elected would mean the world and mean amazing things. But man, that second time would almost mean, I hate to put it this way, but almost mean more, because they have a body of work to build off of. They, you know, the first time in there, you're new, you're fresh, you're, you know, any, the sky's the limit kind of thing. The second time, well, we've got evidence, we've got data to show that you've done this, this, and this, and I like this, but I don't like that, or whatever. To have people still vote you in after that seems like it would mean even more. And also, take a little more. I really want to. I want to bring my A game every single day. They showed me something. I want to show them something. Is that kind of how it is for you?
Yeah. You know. Yeah. It's again. It's really humbling. You know. Like I said, 4 years went by so fast. And as you brought up, you know, comparing it to coaching football and how you put together your team. You know, whether it's players or staff, you got to really revolve around trust. Mm-hmm. And that's really probably the backbone to me in leadership. Is you can't do everything, but you know, I trust the people that are, whether they're a corrections officer, a deputy, a sergeant, they have any whatever part of it of the team they have, you have to trust them. And if you do that, I think it comes full circle. They'll trust you, and then the community sees that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really think that the first investment that you need to make as a leader is your team.
Yeah.
And then when you have a sheriff's department, and yeah, it's unfortunately it's an elected position, but your team will talk. And that impact that they have on the whole community is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't take care of them, the community is going to know.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of, you know, stepping up for the jail and new sheriff's department. The team deserved that. Now let's prove why we need it together. You know, and that makes, you know, that means the most for me. And, yeah, and just revolving around back to that trust. I mean, I trust people to make the decisions that they're going to make. And whether I agree with them or not, I'll have their back.
Right on. Very well said, sir. And I really appreciate it. I do apologize for the sports metaphors. If they ever take those away from me, I don't know what my show will be like. If they take the metaphors away
from me, I won't
come
anymore.
Yeah, right? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
And we will. What are these? We're going to have our sports show one of these days. We definitely are still going to do
that. Thank your dad for the George Brett, you know, baseball card. I know we kind of trade here and there. And yeah. That's kind of from my era, and we were kind of reminiscing about him as a player, and I truly appreciate it. I'll keep it forever.
Appreciate you, sir. Thank you so much for what you do with the community, for the time. Happy New Year to you and yours.
Same to you.
I'll talk again next month.
Sounds like a plan.
And a big thank you, of course, to our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. You guys take care over there. We'll see you guys very soon. Be sure to go on your YouTube page, type in there, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Subscribe to that page and keep up with the great work that they're doing. We'll have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.